You ready?
Ready.
Eddie.
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two outlaws who have been making silly things together since we were 10 years old.
From radio shows to home videos, parody commercials and Terminator spoofs, indie films, horror shorts, and now a podcast.
A podcast.
And books about war.
We're going to mispronounce words.
Forget actors' names.
And most importantly, have fun.
This is Just Another Review Podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's Just Another Review Podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Because it's now.
Porn.
Oh, Jesus.
Jeez, I just got shot. Ow. Sometimes we do trivia. We always do trivia in the podcast. And sometimes we realize that the questions of the movies are movies we haven't seen, or at least I haven't seen.
Yeah, they spur some suggestions, don't they?
Yeah, and then so there's a question about the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid that I probably got wrong.
Yeah, and you realized you'd never seen it.
And I knew the ending, like a Thelma and Louise kind of like... it's in the zeitgeist, but I didn't know the full story or the full movie. And we went back and watched it, and that's what this podcast is about.
Nice. You've used that word before, zeitgeist, and I still don't understand what it means.
I think it's just like it's in the zeitgeist, so it's in the culture, like you're aware of it. So you might not know that you might never have seen the movie Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, but it's permeated the culture enough that you realize that there's a Robert Redford and Paul Newman show movie out there with spoilers. They both die at the end.
Russ.
You've never seen Thelma Louise. But you know that they drive off a cliff at the end.
Right.
Spoilers.
I see.
You know, it's just part of kind of the vernacular.
How else could you use the word zeitgeist?
This podcast is not in the zeitgeist.
Okay.
This movie was made in 1969, directed by George Roy Hill.
69, dude.
1969. And the writer was William Goldman. Continued collaborators with Robert Redford. You see, like, George Roy Hill also did The Sting with Robert Redford. William Goldman also did All the President's Men with Robert Redford. But no one likes to work with Paul Newman.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just joking. There's probably some
connection. Everyone likes his salad dressing, though.
Oh, who doesn't like
Newman's best. I've never seen The Sting.
I don't think I have either.
Or All President's Men.
Well, my gosh, there's so many movies.
Or Ordinary People.
You've never seen Ordinary People?
No.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Of all time?
Yeah, sure.
You'd give it 5 jarps?
100%, yeah.
Oh, well, and so with, shit.
I think it won a few Oscars, too.
Wrong button.
But I watched The Ordinary People in high school, and like it was like an assignment.
That's funny, because I didn't see many Ordinary People in high school.
Directed by Robert Redford. But yeah, good movie.
Okay, I'll put it on the list.
Maybe that should be one of our...
Ordinary People?
Ordinary People.
All right.
We could talk about how good it is.
That sounds good. I like watching good movies.
William Goldman,
like this one.
William Goldman also wrote The Princess Bride.
Oh, now that's a really good movie.
That's classic. So William Goldman writes good scripts.
He writes good banter then, he must. Because good banter in Princess Bride, and there's really good banter in this movie.
Yes.
That's back and forth. Good relationship.
One of the highlights of Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid is the movie star power with the movie stars just bantering with each other. It's probably the best part of the movie for me. Starring Paul Newman as Butch.
Yeah.
As the Butch. You might recognize Paul Newman from such movies as Doc Hudson in Cars.
Oh.
because a little bit older than us, so we didn't see him growing up, but I really enjoyed him in Road to Perdition, which was a movie where Tom Hanks was bad.
I think I mentioned over the break that I watched The Color of Money, an old Scorsese, I guess it's old, in mid-80s now, with Tom Cruise and Paul Newman, where he reprises his role as Eddie Money. He was in another pool, as in billiards, movie, I don't know, probably back in the 70s. I think it's called... Eddie Money.
So there's a cinematic universe of Eddie Money?
I guess so, yeah. This was a sequel to it. And Color Money, really good. Really good.
Color Money, Eddie Money. Robert Redford's also in this as the Sundance Kid. You might remember him as Alexander Pierce in Avengers Endgame.
Oh.
Probably one of his last cinematic roles.
Yeah.
Go out in style there. And
Spy Game. He was in Spy Game with the Pitt.
With Brad Pitt?
With Brad Pitt. Good old Tony Scott movie.
Imagine Robert Redford and Brad Pitt.
Oh, man, like just... How could you not cream in your shorts just watching that
cream stuff? In your shorts. Catherine Ross plays Etta Place.
Oh, she's out of place?
She's Etta Place, out of place. That's why she gets the hell out of Bolivia before it all goes sour.
Yeah, she has some good intuition to go home first, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she's in a movie that I've probably part of the zeitgeist, I haven't seen, but also I kind of remember, I know the ending, The Graduate, where she's just like sitting in a car, in the backseat of a car with Dustin Hoffman. They're both like kind of staring absently out the window going like, what mistake did we just make?
They're married or something?
Yeah, what's The Graduate about? I have no idea.
I don't know.
But I know that they're like at the end, regretting a lot of choices at the very end.
I saw your note here that she's in Donnie Darko. I'm like, what did she play? So I had to go down the IMDb train and look at some screen images. And yeah, she plays the psychologist who... Right. Who hypnotizes Donnie Darko or whatever like that.
Yes.
Much senior looking Catherine Ross, but still a very pretty lady. Right?
You're aware of how time works.
Yeah, you get gray and old and your balls droop.
Time after time. This movie cost $6 million.
And only $6
million? In 1969.
I imagine that was kind of...
It's probably a big budget. I mean,
who would ever disagree that $6 million is not a lot of money, right?
Yeah. 102 million worldwide.
Anyway. Wow. Like, what are the numbers there? What kind of percentage back is that?
That's pretty
good. Almost 200%.
Everyone left with big pockets.
Yo.
They robbed the donkey on that one. They won 4 Oscars, Best Screenplay, Cinematography, Original Score, Best Song.
Nice.
Nothing for our fancy
people. Surprised it didn't win Best Picture, but there must have been a lot of other great nominees that year or whatever like that, because this has gone down in history as one of the classics of all time,
right? You say? Well, that happens, right? Movies that win the Best Picture are soon forgotten, and it's like the movies that win kind of like the below the line.
Yeah. Give me an example. What would you say?
Matrix.
The Matrix. Never won Best Picture, did it?
No, but it...
Should have?
It could have, should have. I mean, they don't talk about the other... Well, they probably did in 1999.
Moonlight. Won Best Picture.
Oh, okay.
And I've never seen it.
Is that the Cher
and
no one's ever talked about Nicolas Cage?
No, it's about black people.
Okay, sure.
And slavery, I think.
Oh, Moonlight.
I don't know.
Oh, you're talking about like...
recently.
The one where not La La Land, but Moonlight instead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good movie.
Okay, I'm sure it is.
I don't think it's about slavery.
Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
That's weird of you to say.
Well, I don't know. I thought maybe I'm thinking of...
It's like
I'm thinking of another one mixed up into it.
I don't, like 30 Years a Slave or whatever?
That's the one I'm mixing it slavery. Up with. Yeah,
I don't think it's called 30 Years
a Slave. Well, it's right in the name. I imagine it's about slavery.
It's something years a slave. 5 Years a Slave? 4 Years a Slave?
3
Years
a Slave? I don't know. I think there was a lot more
years than that. I mean, there is more the years of slavery, but maybe just specifically for this one individual. I'm not sure. Mm. Anyway, so if you can't tell, we're two white guys doing a podcast.
About black people.
Here's the synopsis.
What?
Robert Leroy Parker,
a.k.a. The Butch,
and Harry Alonzo Longabaugh,
a.k.a. Captain Handsome,
are two charming friends that rob trains and banks with their gang, Hole in the Wall.
Which is cowboy talk for Glory Hole.
Their wicked lifestyle catches up to them in the form of lawmen like Lord Baltimore and Joe LaForce.
Is that LaForce out there?
Butch.
The white hat?
Sundance. And the hottest teacher in the world.
Ooh la la.
At a place. Escape to Bolivia.
Ooh.
But as the saying goes, you can take the bandit out of Wyoming, but they're still going to rob bureaus.
Which is cowboy talk for your butthole.
Butch and Sundance meet their end in a barrage of bullets from the Bolivian army.
But not at a place. She's out of there. See what I did there?
I mean, you did it already, but you did it again.
I did.
And I caught it both times.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you got to butcher a good joke.
Well, 3 times a charm, so it can happen one more time before we're done.
I really like the chemistry between these two actors, Paul Newman and... have they done anything together since this? I didn't take the time to look that up.
Well, they're currently both dead, but...
Are you sure Robert Redford's dead?
Yeah. He dead. That's what I'm saying. Like, one of his last films was Avengers Endgame.
That's sad.
Well, you weren't obviously at the funeral.
No, I wasn't invited.
Did they make another movie together? Great. So did you ask that question knowing the answer?
Or no, are you asking that question? You were obviously not listening to me. I said I didn't take the time to research it. I'm just kind of throwing it out there. Hoping that, you know, with all your vast amount of movie trivia, that you would know the answer to this.
Yeah, yeah. Why do a podcast when we have no information?
Why research anything? Why not just wing it?
Why don't you tell me about what you like about the chemistry so much?
Well, just their banter. Like I said, the writing of this movie is really good. So their back and forth seems very natural. You know, one guy likes to talk a lot and the other guy just has a quitty, quitty one-liners to lash back at him. Just they're very yin and yang and they seem to... really know what each other's gonna say. You know, they play off each other quite well. You know, they like someone say go, 1, 2, 3, go. You know what I mean? When he's in the knife for guns, Butch.
When they're trying to have a mutiny a little bit, they have
when the one guy's trying to overturn him as a head boss man for the hole in the wall gang, he's like, guns or knives, Butch. I'm butchering that guy's voice. It's really awkward, actually. And he's like, well, we got to go through the rules. And in a knife fight? And he runs up and kicks him in the junk. He's like, that's right. There's rules. Someone's got to say go. 1, 2, 3, go. And then all of a sudden, Cassie's like, 1, 2, 3, go. And then he like gives him a good old two-handed wood chop to the face and knocks the guy out.
Yeah.
Did he kill him?
No. He just won the battle.
But the other guy was willing to kill him.
I mean... Isn't it charming?
Yeah, he's charming. To be killed. He's never killed. Never killed anybody in his life.
If you were running a train, would you like to get robbed by Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? I think I would.
He's very charming, isn't he?
Yeah, and that'll catch up to you. Do you know that movie, The Sting, that you've never seen?
Right.
Well, it stars Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
Well, there you go.
And they only did two movies together.
The Sting and Butch Cassidy.
And the Sundance Kid. Okay. And the reason I know that is because I did research
before
this.
Before.
And I'm super knowledgeable about movies. And when you asked me it, I had that information.
That's why you win the trivia game at least 50% of the time.
Or maybe 42.
Yeah. Now, is there a more handsome duo than these two together?
George
Clooney, other than Brad Russ Pitt. And Sean, you know.
George Clooney, Brad Pitt.
Think so, though?
I think so.
I think
they are the
new Paul Newman.
And I wouldn't say new anymore because I don't think George Pitt and Brad Clooney are new anymore.
Right.
So what is the 2025 comparison? I'm not sure. Hmm. The 1995 comparison, like whenever they
would be George and Brad.
Whatever. Yeah. When did they do Master, like the 11?
But at Steven their prime, let's look at them at their prime. You think they hold a candle to these two?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I vote for Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Over Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, as far as looks are concerned.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else who's like a combo of two actors that are doing it up nowadays.
That's just because we're getting old ourselves.
But maybe, you know, I know who Timothy Chalamet is and Glenn Powell, but they're not in movies together.
That's right.
They could be in movies together one day, and maybe they should be, and maybe they would be the new
Glenn Powell, Miles Teller, maybe? No?
Sure. Okay, yeah, both in Top Gun, but not really, the movie wasn't really about them. It was about Tom Cruise.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. So Miles Teller and Glenn Powell, they're going to make another...
Oh, Maverick 2?
Maverick 2. Maybe no Maverick. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's a Top Gun.
I'm sure he'll produce it at least, though.
Yeah, he'll be involved.
Somehow. Because, you know, he has to be.
Well, he makes good films.
Okay.
I would say more, this movie hits gold.
Don't play with the power. That's what happened last. Russ is playing with the power cord right now.
This movie hits.
He gets nervous.
Best with me.
He has to do something
when they're
with his
just
hands.
Talking and they're being charming. It loses me near the end where it's just leading up to the inevitable. I didn't know.
Well, a testament to the writing, right?
Testament to the writing. But I was less interested in like the whole chase sequence, or I guess knowing where the movie was going to go. It's just like the inevitable of like, okay, let's just move on. Because at a certain point, it's less charming and just like. moving towards the fact that they're just going to die.
Fair enough. It's all
catching up to them.
I thought that the Federales chasing them was quite funny with the musical selection that they use. It was like kind of like Benny Hill almost type-esque, you know. And then they fired on the Federales and they turned around and ran away. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I thought it was quite funny.
I wasn't a big fan of the, you know, when they're going through like New York and stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't like the still transition.
That's not, yeah, I didn't.
That's okay. As a person who quite liked the technical aspects of film and stuff like that.
Not me.
I really liked it. I thought it was sort of groundbreaking, something new that probably hadn't really been done too much in film and television and stuff like that. I thought they paved the way for a lot of cool things. Montages. I would think maybe it's the first music video ever made, sort of thing like that.
First musical montage.
Yeah, maybe.
You can get a lot done.
I don't know. But yeah, they did some really, really cool technical stuff. And if you look at those montage of pictures, just the detail and everything that they went into, even if they were, say, quote unquote, photoshopped, however they did that back in the AI, day, it was still really AI. Well. Yeah, they used AI. It was still really well done.
I feel like it was like a budget decision, like how to save money. Like, we're not going to take you to these locations, but we'll just make some nice photos.
Could have been, studio. But I thought it was tastefully done. So okay. You didn't, but whatever.
Do you think, speaking of tastefully done,
shoot Russ in the foot.
I just dodged that. Do you think there is some film on the editing floor of like a three-way? Do you think
they maybe? I don't know. Like there seemed to be some sort of a love triangle going on here at a place. You know, obviously her heart belongs to Butch, obviously because he was the more handsome out of the two of them. That's debatable. But obviously Butch being the more charming of the two of them. So I think she had a little bit
I think Robert Redford is Sundance.
I think her heart fluttered a little bit.
You mixed the
two. Oh, did I say something
but
wrong?
But it doesn't matter. Either way, one of them was her, one of them.
You missed me, bitch.
One of them was her real boyfriend. But the other one she kind of, you know, flirts with and says, I wish it was, don't you kind of wish it was
what,
us?
What happened? Do you think if we had met first?
Yeah, I'll do, but do, but do.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think Butch really likes the. I want my dicks up. So I don't know how much for settling down Butch is for, you know.
There's some lonely nights in the Bolivia, you know, around the campfire that
you can tell he's a third wheel, eh?
You wonder whose sleeping bag you're getting into.
He was kind of sitting up against the tree with his back to them. We don't know what he was doing under that.
When they're getting under that
poncho
the
there, right?
Yeah, I
saw some fluttering in the poncho.
Anything else you'd like to talk about this movie?
Cinematography is phenomenal. Conrad Hall. I wish I did some more research about the other movies he'd done. I know he's a very famous, achieved cinematographer. But exceptional cinematography. I just think the technical expertise and craftsmanship of this movie for how long ago it was done still really stands up to this day. And you can tell lots of bits and pieces of this were emulated all along the way after this movie came out, and probably still to this day. Excellent technical achievement, amongst other things, the writing, the acting, the music. I mean, Burt Bacharach. I mean, it's interesting.
It's an interesting choice of music because they're not playing movies, not playing music from that time period,
right? Yeah,
which is sometimes for
period. It seemed a little out of place, but
they have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it is. It's like it's, you know, having fun. You're telling the audience, I think, we're like, hey, let's have fun with this movie.
Mm-hmm. And they made us cheer for the bad guys. Hey, these guys are not. I mean, they're charming, but they're not
Breaking Bad.
They're not technically good guys, right? Yeah. I was just going to ask you what, you know, some more examples of movies that might make you cheer for the bad guy. Well, I mean, you just said Breaking Bad.
But you know, when you talked about Conrad L. Hall.
Yeah. Tell me about in your vast amount of knowledge.
What I
here,
think about one of the movies that he was Russ the cinematographer is for is American Beauty,
okay.
Which has made everyone cheer for Kevin Spacey, who is the ultimate bad guy.
Right.
You know, and another one he did.
Because he likes boys.
He did us. I think he treated boys wrongly.
Could you not agree that he liked boys?
In the movie?
In general.
Sure. Whatever his sexual orientation is fine.
Doesn't matter.
He was abusive.
You don't judge.
He used his power in an abusive way.
Powers?
What kind
of powers?
Like special Marvel boy cinematic
powers.
You know, also, cinematographer Conrad L. Hall did is Road to Perdition.
Ooh.
Which is
Paul Newman's
and Tom Hanks'
favorite.
Tom Hanks is a bad guy in that.
Oh, yeah.
So I speaking guess of bad guys.
Bad guy turned good guy? No, well, he's just bad guy on the run.
Yeah, he's a bad guy on the run.
Yeah.
He's got to kill people. But he's
bang,
gotta,
bang.
He's got kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
Take that on your road and shove it.
Should we rate this thing?
Let's rate it.
This shit is awesome.
Sure was.
You suck.
So in the rating part, Sean says, gives it a score. The yeah. JARP rating score.
I use
score,
scientific zero mathematics.
Yeah, you put it in the in the
give it to Conky. Conky the Pee Wee Herman robot.
Oh, man.
And he spits out a little receipt and he tells me what my JARP rating
you
is.
You don't have a Conky sound effect save.
I didn't delete it.
I mean,
but
you have to keep strippers.
Hand
you have to keep strippers in there.
But yeah, I got to keep strippers on hand. Conky. That's a good one. Good old iced tea.
I, on the other hand, will just tell you if it's better or worse than The Great Outdoors.
That's right.
Guess what? Robert Redford and Paul Newman ate John Candy and Dan Aykroyd's lunch. And by lunch, I mean the old 96er.
The old 90. Oh, jeez.
In 69,
your head's in the gutter.
In 69, the film was done.
Right.
But we all enjoy the old 96er.
You don't enjoy a good 69er?
With John Candy and Dan Aykroyd? Hey, to each their own.
Hey. This is the part where I like to read off my rating here. This is one of the greatest movies ever constructed still to this day.
Whoa.
The cinematography, writing, and technical wizardry were far ahead of its time, not to mention two of the most handsome men that ever graced the silver screen. A classical masterpiece that still holds up to this day and has entertained me over and over again on repeat viewings. Burt Bacharach gets a little tiresome, but it's also part of the charm, which we talked about. This is almost a perfect movie. 4.75 JARPs.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah. It's great. You can't go wrong with this movie, I don't think.
I think you can't.
Until the montage comes up. Until the montage.
Until, you know, the second viewing.
Montage! Oh, where's that soundbite when you need it, right?
Yeah. World police. This is our stargazing portion of the podcast. We talk about outside of this movie. What are we excited about? What are we doing with our time?
Boys. Kevin Spacey with his magical boy powers.
Speaking of powers. Marvel trailers have dropped.
So
all three of the 2025 Marvel trailers.
Aren't you tired of this Marvel shit?
This is my thought here. 2025,
Please tell us your thoughts.
2025 is going to be the comeback for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Comebacks? Like on Boys?
It's going to be the nail in the coffin. Do you have any predictions? Do you care?
I really like the aesthetic look of the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. That kind of 50s color wash, whatever they got going on there. I don't know how much good the movie's going to be, but as far as prettiness and looking at it, I think it looks pretty nice. Thunderbolts, I haven't seen the trailer for that, so I don't know what the fuck you're talking about on that one. And Captain America, I mean, that shit can just go die as far as I'm concerned.
The Red Hulk, you're not excited about the Red Hulk?
Not at all. I have zero motivation to go see that movie in the theater.
Thunderbolts is like a team-up movie. But it's for the bad guys.
Oh, like a Suicide Squad of the Marvel Universe?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So I have,
I thought it was the squad that, was the squad? Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you here.
Yeah, no.
What's the squad that Bow and Arrow Boy puts together?
In the actual
Hawkeye.
Comics?
Hawkeye. Yeah, doesn't he put a squad of people together?
Like maybe the Young Marvels or something like that.
I thought they were the Thunderbolts.
And ask comic knowledge? Are you looking for
I'm not trying to be
cinematic?
Funny.
No, I know you're not trying to be funny, but is your question regarding to the cinematic universe or the comic universe?
Aren't they both sort of the one and the same?
Well, no, they're differentiated. Things happen in the comics and they're done by different, writers and artist teams.
I thought, again, I'm not privy to the whole comic book lore. I just kind of, I'm a guy that rides the surface of that shit. And
Hawkeye had his own show on Disney+.
Yeah, but I thought he assembled some sort of team of young Avengers sort of thing.
It's possible in the comics he does.
Okay.
I think I heard.
Well, I'm asking, you seem to know a lot of shit, so I'm just asking you, all right? Don't get offended. Stop playing with the power cord for.
I'm Christ not playing with anything right now. Oh, yeah, you just yeah. that's you're just
under the poncho. playing with myself under my poncho, and then I do a big.
Oh! Just shot.
The you're gonna power get cord. Shot.
Let's not talk about Marvel load. Anymore. But I will yes, tell please, you about my youngest daughter, who I've always tried to. Both my daughters have always like let's watch movies together. But like oh. obviously, I want them to like come up to my super mature level and watch not you know. Movies for kids, but movies for adults too.
Okay.
And so she came to me and she said, you know, Dad, I really want to watch Squid Game.
You know what? My daughter asked me to watch Squid Game. You know what I said?
That's inappropriate.
I said, no, it's rated R. You're not old enough.
You know what I said?
Okay. You said, okay, let's do it.
Here we go. Yeah. And so we watched season 1-2 of Squid Game.
Okay. I haven't seen season 2, so no spoilers.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Well, unless you think it's
no,
not
I'm
worth
not
it.
I'm not going to
spoil it. Is it worth it, watching it?
I mean, did you like the first one?
I did.
Then, yeah, it's worth it.
I didn't love it. I wouldn't, wasn't I, like, you know, everybody's like, oh, Squid Game. Oh, Squid Game is garbage! Yeah,
she really likes it, and she
thought
like,
it was interesting.
She YouTubes everything. And she okay. talks about. She draws the characters, so I'm enjoying Squid Game through her eyes. As
like, I see.
Probably more than watching it myself, but it is. I enjoyed both seasons, and I'm looking forward to season 3 this year.
Oh, there's going to be a season
the
3.
The final.
So how do they redo it when Buddy's already gone season. Through the gauntlet of Squid Game? It's just like, here, we're going to give you some more money if you want to try again. Kind
do
of.
Do you remember in Lost where Jack was like? Where they're doing like the flashbacks, but it's actually flash forwards, and it's like season 3 or 4.
Okay,
and then Kate finally like meets him at a pier somewhere by the water, and he's like, "Kate, we gotta go back."
Right,
because they had to go back to the island, and then oh. you're like, "What do you mean?" And I'm like, "This is not flashback. This is a flash forward, and they're actually off the island, but now they wanted to get back to the island.
Is this purgatory?"
No, no, it's not purgatory, said the writers, said the writers. Then when the show ends, yeah, it was purgatory.
No, well, the island was not purgatory.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
It was not.
It was.
It was not.
The was. The island was purgatory.
No, the island was not purgatory.
Well,
the
I
island,
think it was in my mind. What? It makes total sense if the, it was purgatory.
The island was like a mythical creation that was holding like
souls.
Evil in... like it was there was a religious aspect to it, but it wasn't purgatory. They did all come together in a style of purgatory at one point because they all meet in the church. But then again, that's not like a flash. That's like instead of a flashback, flash forward. It's like a flash to the purgatory.
I think they copped
the
out.
Island.
Is I that, think they right? copped out on that because everybody a couple seasons in was like, "This is purgatory," and they're like, "Oh God, you think I figured it out? No, it's not purgatory." It makes way more sense if it was purgatory because then sure. every time. All the characters kind of came full circle and figured something out, sort of, or made amends in their life. They disappeared from the show, meaning they were then finally accepted into the afterlife, wherever that is.
You're saying that's what happened in the first couple of seasons?
Yeah, that's how I feel. If you look at it from a perspective of the island was purgatory, I think it makes perfect sense.
Like why Boone died.
Boone, he's dead.
About,
I don't know.
What about you? What are you stargazing?
Well, kind of, I guess, kind of on the Squid Game thing. I know Mr. Beast did a Squid Games thing, but me and, again, this is something I bond with over with my 11-year-old daughter.
Sounds like a show that's not rated R.
No, it's not rated R. It's rated PG. Mm-hmm. And so we've been watching the Mr. Beast game show where they've pitted 200 contestants against. We're at almost 27 minutes right now, Russ. Don't worry. We'll get you home. Where they compete for $5 million, and we're down now to the final six. There's one show left, 9 episodes, comes out every Thursday on Prime.
You're yeah. liking it?
Yeah, it's fun. It's entertaining. We like making fun of all the contestants and right. stuff like that, so yeah.
Same daughter. We watched the first one or two episodes for sure.
Okay, good. Yeah, you know yeah. what time it is for now?
It's random.
Random movie right. trivia game.
We hand out two cards each. I fan them
two
out.
Two cards it's each?
Super, no, sorry, one card, one card each.
Take this two
cards
one.
In total.
Oh man,
we've never seen these
I know
before.
I always know how well Russ is gonna do if I just look at the answers right away. I'm not even looking at the fuck me.
You know what?
This is bullshit.
You know what? You know how well you're gonna do?
Probably horrible.
Yeah, yeah. This was
all right. Well, you might as well go first.
Yeah, yeah.
Then.
Ready?
All right.
In what movie is Audrey Hepburn a princess? In what movie is Audrey Hepburn a princess? Yeah.
Gone with the Wind.
That is incorrect. It's Roman Holiday.
Roman Holiday.
Great.
Where Audrey
Let's
Hepburn
add it to the list.
Is a princess.
I hate this.
what creative...
hate you. What creator of TV's The Office directed and starred in The Invention of Lying?
Ricky Gervais.
Oh, man.
Correct.
Clear and Present Danger is an adaptation of whose book?
Grisham.
Tom Clancy.
Oh, damn it.
Wrong answer, motherfucker!
Okay, maybe you won't know this one. Okay. What Steve McQueen film sees prisoners trying to escape from a German POW camp?
The only probably Steve McQueen movie I am is it that's in the zeitgeist for me. No, it's not like Peckham 1-2-3 or something like that. Or it's Escape from Alcatraz.
Just make a fucking guess.
I don't know.
Just guess. You gotta make a guess. I don't know.
It's like a World War II movie.
Really, really. POW Camp is a World War II movie.
Escape from...
Wrong answer, motherfucker!
We'll just put a... Yeah,
what's it called?
The Great Escape.
The Great Escape.
Yeah.
The word escape wasn't it.
Yeah, exactly.
Who directed The Seven Samurai? Who directed The Seven Samurai?
Tom Cruise.
Probably... known as one of the best directors ever, Akira Kurosawa, which, you know, we probably should
watch. Wrong answer, motherfucker!
One of his movies.
Great. I think I'm 0-3 now.
Yep.
All right.
We're a movie podcast.
This is for all the pickles. The line, I love the smell of napalm in the morning, is Apocalypse from what...
Now.
Oh, my God. What is...
Correct!
Didn't we... Oh, man, I swear we've gotten this card already.
That's not possible.
It is not possible. Damn it. All right, well, for shits and giggles.
What is Captain Kirk accused of in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country? What is Captain Kirk accused of in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country?
What's that word called when you go against your country? This is why I should read more.
Like a spy.
Damn it, Sean. You need to read more.
It's a Manchurian candidate.
Not mutiny. Not tyranny. No,
Tyranny? Could be tyranny. Murder. How about murder?
Sure, sure. He's accused of murder. Sure. Murdering a political figure.
Yeah, I told you the answer. It's murder.
Oh, nice.
Correct.
No, what's that one where you go against your country?
What's my last question?
Oh, why don't you just tell me the answer? according to Spider-Man's Uncle Tom... Oh, no, it's Uncle Ben. With great power... What the fuck is
this? Comes great responsibility?
Correct!
Well, that wraps up another episode of Just Another
Fucking
Review Podcast.
Bullshit.
We recommend Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Absolute horseshit. Oh, well. Fucking game this was. All right.
Well, one more shot before we go.
My poncho.
All right, love everybody.
Love you too.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, 'cause it's now.
It was now. Now it's over.